Amen. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Well, we're certainly glad to have you here. Why don't you turn to the person on your right or left and just tell them it's good to see you this morning. Amen. Amen. It's good to be seen. Well, we certainly are glad to have each and every one of you here with us. Amen. We've got a big event this Sunday. Big event every Sunday. Amen. How many of you came to hear from the Lord this morning? Amen. I've been reading about Cornelius back in my back room and how when the angel appeared to him and told him to go see Peter, he went and saw him, and when he got there, he said, "I've come to hear all the words commanded of you by God to say." And I like that. He basically is telling Peter, "Don't work up some message for me. I didn't come to hear from you. Amen. I came to hear from the Lord." Amen. And that's what we want today. Our prayer and our goal is that while we're speaking, while we're teaching God's Word, that you not only hear from Him from Scripture, but in your heart you hear from Him. And there's nothing more priceless than that. There's nothing better than that. Amen? So open up your Bibles, if you will, this morning with me to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 5. I believe sometime this week we're going to get some Bibles that are both Old and New Testament. At this time we'd have our ushers stand up and pass those Bibles out if you're here and don't have a Bible. And so we definitely want you, if you are here, participate in all of our service. And so if you have a Bible, that's great. And maybe if you forgot to bring it, you can borrow it. But if you don't have one coming next Sunday, you can get a full-fledged Bible, Old and New Testament, and keep it, make it your own. Book of Mark chapter 5, before we dive into this, let's just pray. Father, we come before you today. We thank you. Your word is life. And Father, we thank you. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Father, as we've already stated today, our goal is for us to be able to hear from you in our hearts. That Father, our desire is to know your will and your plan, to know your ways and your wisdom so that we can walk in the life you have prepared for us. So Father, I lean on your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, he does exactly what you said he would do, and that is lead and guide these people into all truth, show them things to come, answer any question, and help me teach and preach this message. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I've got a couple of things rolling around in my heart. I've had this message. I've been sitting on it for a couple of days now, and this morning the Lord started speaking to me some things, so we'll see. We may divide up and kind of go out in different directions. We'll see. I may touch on a rabbit trail here or there, but we'll just be led by God. Amen? In the book of Mark chapter 5, we have the story of the woman with the issue of blood, and you all know it. Jesus is on the way to Jairus' house to heal his daughter, and while he is there, apparently everyone knew who Jesus was. And so there are people from every side pressing in on him, trying to touch him. Well, there was one particular woman in this crowd who had an issue of blood that had lasted many years. In fact, it had cost her not just that extent of life, but it in fact cost her all of her money. And so here she is with this medical condition that she's seen apparently every doctor in the land paid for them to see her. And she's nothing better. In fact, she's getting worse. But in the middle of all of this, she hears of Jesus, and we don't know exactly what she hears, but apparently she heard something in the regards that Jesus is the healer. And she works something in herself, and she starts making a decision to leave her house and to press through the multitude. And you know the story. She breaks through the multitude, she touches the hem of his garment, and when she does, she is made well. But there's a verse here, and if you can pull this up for me in the Amplified, Mark chapter 5 and verse 28, there's a verse here that's just been standing out to me for a couple of days, and we want to make mention of it this morning. In Mark 5 and 28, it says, "For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Notice this in verse 28. "For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole." Now let me ask you something. Did this woman have what she said? She said, "If I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." And what happened to her? She touched the hem of his garment and she was made 100% whole. I mean, she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus felt power leave his clothes. There was such a strong demand of faith upon her that Jesus even felt it leave his clothes, leave his body, go through his clothes and go into her. He knew someone had touched him with a touch of faith. Well, we see part of this faith is she said, "If I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." Now, this word said has been just stirred up in me. And I looked it up in the Greek and I came to realize that it's the same word that's over in Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. We'll go over there later. But this word said is the Greek word lego. Now, I've preached on this before, but it's very interesting. This is where we get our word legos, our little construction building blocks for toys. That's where we get that word from. It's from that Greek word, which means said or saith. That's very interesting. This word lego in the Greek means to set a systematic set course. To set a systematic set course. It goes in deeper and it means to break silence for an extended period of time. Now I'm going to major on this today. It means to set a systematic set course. To break silence for an extended period of time. We have a new building project underway out there on Lakeland Drive. And I tell you what, it is coming along just beautifully. I mean, it's gorgeous. I went out there yesterday in my PJs because I had to look at some color samples real quick on the wall that they were painting and had to make sure that I liked them so they could go ahead and paint the whole thing. So it was a rush thing. And I went up there and I kid you not, it seemed like every church member in the world was there. And so I'd explain to everyone, yeah, that's the way it goes. I'd explain to everyone why I looked the way I did. But anyway, it's coming along wonderfully well. Now, one of the things I've learned about building, this is my first building project, is that there is a building plan, or it'd be fair to say there is a building course. You could say a timeline of when things are supposed to get done, of how things are supposed to get done. In fact, if you go into our construction trailer, you see that timeline. Concrete will be poured on this date, and they'll have carpets in on this date, and all of those things. And when I first came into construction and started looking at the building plan and all of those things, you just expect that everything is going to go according to this plan. According to this course. I mean, we're setting the course, and this is the way it's going to be. I mean, this is going to be in by this date and all of these other things. And I came to find out real quickly that not everything always goes according to the plan. That the windows were going to be installed then, but something came up, and for whatever reason, they got distracted. And because they were distracted, they veered off course and, you know, got caught up in another project. And so they couldn't fulfill that measure of the course. Or sometimes you'd be pleasantly surprised and they'd get in early. But basically, we set the course and the goal is to be completed by a certain time. Now, this word saith means to set a systematic. Now this word systematic, it's important. It's not by happenstance. It's setting a direct course. Much like building Legos, when you pull open that Lego box and you see hundreds of pieces fall across the floor, it comes with directions. There's a course where each block's supposed to go, and you take those blocks and you construct by pieces a structure. Or a design of some sort. Well, this is what our words do. Your words and my words set a systematic set course. When we are in faith for something, it's not just a one-time confession that puts us over in life. No, all of your other words as well are setting a course that is systematic for your life and mine. And when you get in faith for something, God has an appointed time for that thing to come into fruition in your life and mine. I mean, there's a time for it. It's appointed by God. It's, you remember Habakkuk, though the vision tarry, wait for it, because God knows exactly when it's coming. He's got an appointed time. Now, here's the thing. Our words set the course for that timeline. It can complete the project. They can make it happen. They can go to work for us and start bringing it to pass. Or they can delay or hinder. Or we can get distracted and lose consistency and not get out there to work as much with our words on what we're believing for. Our confession loses its intensity, its consistency. And because of that, just like workers may be getting sidetracked with another project instead of working on this project or the church project that we have, because that may pull them off on another project, then our project could be delayed. Now, it's not. We're still open on April 17th. I'm just giving an example of what can happen. Does that make sense? And the enemy is always trying to put distractions in your life to try to get you to veer off course. Maybe not even just speaking against the project or speaking against healing or against financial prosperity or whatever it may be. It could be you just get consumed with something else over here. And because of that, just how overwhelming something is, maybe it's a test or a trial, or maybe it's just something that's captured your attention. Maybe it's just you got real caught up and busy with work, and so for whatever reason, you're not working with your words like you were when you first got in faith. Or maybe something happened, maybe a child got sick or an unexpected bill came in and your mind got so consumed with that that for whatever reason you stopped working with your words on that confession for that new house or got worked up in something else, and so for whatever reason you just got so consumed with it that you lost consistency with your confession of faith. This woman didn't just say, "When I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." She broke silence saying that continuously. We see this here in the Amplified in Mark 5 and verse 28 in the Amplified, if you can pull that up for me. She wasn't just saying this one time. This word saith means she was breaking silence continually. You see this in Mark 5 and 28 in the Amplified. It does exactly what it's supposed to do. It amplifies the Greek words here. Watch this. For she did what? Everyone say, kept saying. Kept saying, if I only touch his garment, I shall be restored to health. She heard about Jesus the healer. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, but she didn't stop there. She had a desire built up in her heart to be healed. And all of a sudden, when she heard about Jesus, faith came for that. But then after that, she consistently, everyone say consistently, without distraction, consistently kept saying, "When I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made well." She was committed. And she did whatever it would take to do exactly what she said she would do. Now, friends, this is what I want to get to you at. This year is going to be a supernatural year if you set a systematic set course. Friend, I'm telling you, heaven desires to kiss earth in your life and in mine. But the word the Lord gave me was this: you cannot be lazy. You can't just sit back and get consumed with something else over here and forget to do the thing that God told you to do. keep making those confessions of faith. You remember Naaman back in the Old Testament? He developed leprosy. He was a very wealthy man. So he went to go see the prophet of God. And the prophet told him, you can be healed if you'll just dip in the river 7 times. Well, he got irritated and just upset because he thought the prophet would come out and just wave his hand over him and cure him of the leprosy. He didn't want to go dip in the nasty Jordan River. And so anyway, he gets mad at him and he starts walking away from the man of God because of this. And while he's walking away, thank God he had a smart servant. His servant turned to him and said, is it anything hard that he's asked you to do? Just go dip in the river. We're talking about your healing here. We're talking about getting rid of leprosy here. You can go dip in the river 7 times. And I love that. And you know the story. Naaman did that and came up well. But here's the thing. I love that phrase, is it anything hard that he's asked you to do? And with God, he's never asking you to do some burdensome thing. In fact, most of the things he asks us to do, they are relatively easy. And one of the things he's asking us to do in this new year is to speak God's word like never before. Write it. Speak it. Wake up in the morning. Make those faith confessionals. Speak it to your children. Speak it when you lay down. Speak it when you rise up. Speak it when you walk by the way. But we are to be speaking God's word. Why? It's setting a systematic set course. You can delay it. I've seen building projects. I mean, think of ours. We started ours 10 years ago, and it got delayed all the way up till now because of things that happened in life. Well, friends, it's the same thing in your life. There are things that God desired to do 5 years ago, but because the course wasn't set, there couldn't be a fulfillment of the promise. Well, I don't know about you. I'm not going to put off anything any longer. I'm setting a systematic set course. Basically, I'm going to show up to work every day and keep confessing so that timeline with God's appointed time kicks in my life. Now, what do you think the enemy is going to try to do? He's going to try to get you distracted, get you off course. He wants your attention on other things. And he will do whatever it takes in your life and mine to distract us one way or another to get us to stop confessing God's word and the promises of God. He will use any type of trick. He'll use situation, he'll use circumstance, and he'll just use plain out distraction and busyness. Think of Nehemiah. Nehemiah has a call of God on his life to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He goes out there and he's building and working away. And the enemy stirs up 2 men, Sanballat and some other guy. I'm not even going to try to say his name. I'm from Mississippi. It starts with a T. And they work consistently using multiple different things to get Nehemiah off the wall. I mean, they try to go to war against him. Sometimes, though, it was as simple as just come down here and talk to us. Just come on down here and talk to us. But their goal was to just distract him, to get him from stop working on the wall. And friends, the enemy's trying to do the same thing in your life. He will try to distract you with a hobby. He will try to distract you with work. He will try to distract you with anything he can to get you to stop working on the thing you are believing God for. Go over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, we all know it as the great faith chapter. But friends, there's a theme that runs through the entire book of Hebrews, and it's not just the subject of faith, but it's what faith does. And before this great faith chapter where we see, Noah building the arks and women raising their children back from the dead and Daniel stopping the mouths of lions, we see where God is speaking to us through the Apostle Paul some wonderful principles about how faith works. So I'm going to give your fingers a little workout this morning because we're going to look at Hebrews and multiple scriptures here. We'll start at Hebrews chapter 10 right before the great faith chapter. In chapter 11, and we will look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. I want you to see a theme here and tell me if you can figure this out. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Watch what he says here. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. When do you receive the promise? After you've done the will of God. Not only that, but we get the idea here that we're going to have to do the will of God, and then there might be a little time delay between doing the will of God and receiving the promise, and that's why we don't need to cast away our confidence. That's why we're in need of patience, because there's a little time delay sometimes between after we've done the will of God and we receive the promise. Now, go over here and look at verse chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast, notice that word, hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promise. Notice this, we're to hold fast the profession, the confession of our faith. Why would you need to hold fast if it was going to happen tomorrow? Come on now. Why would you need it to hold fast the confession of your faith if it was going to happen the next day? Friends, don't you see that it's giving the idea here you have need of patience. Don't cast away your confidence. Hold fast that sometimes there is a time delay of when we think we ought to get it and the appointed time is. All right, go over. Don't like that. Go over to Hebrews chapter 6 and let's look here. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11. Watch this. Hebrews 6 and verse 11. Watch what he says. He says, and we desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. You see this once again, it's almost like there's an end to this. I mean, there's an end, but there's some need of diligence, to consistent work to get to the end of your hope. Okay, go over to Hebrews chapter 3, and we'll take you to two more, and then we'll get to what I'm talking about. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14. Hebrews 3 and verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Notice he's saying, I mean, when you get in faith for something those first couple of days, I mean, you're fired up. You're making those faith confessions. Woo, we're going to get our healing. Woo, we're getting a new house. Woo, we're getting a new car. I mean, we're excited about it. We're making those confessions. We're quoting the word. We're having those devotionals. We're giving thanks. I mean, we've got it rolling. And what Paul is saying is that that same confidence, that same persuasion, that same excitement you had at the beginning, you've got to carry it all the way through to the end, and you better be steadfast about it. Why? Because there's going to be some things along the way that are going to make you lose consistency, and then after you lose consistency, commitment is always next. In every single thing in life where you lose consistency in something, commitment always ends after that. In marriage, in hobbies, if you go 2 years without showing any consistency towards that hobby, your commitment to it is. And with faith, you've got to keep being consistent, keep confessing, keep believing, because if you don't, that commitment towards it will fade, and you had great confidence at the start, but we never made it to the end. He that endures to the end shall be saved. One more here in verse 6, Hebrews 3 and 6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. You see what Paul is getting to? He's building to this great faith chapter. I mean, in faith we see miracles, heaven touching earth. But before he gets over into that, all throughout the book of Hebrews, he's talking about holding fast, being patient, being diligent, holding the same confidence we had at the beginning, steadfast until the end, seeing things all the way through until the end. Friends, I want to encourage you this morning. You got to keep breaking the silence. Don't allow anything, anyone, any circumstance, any hobby, any distraction keep you from your steady, consistent confession of faith. Now the enemy, he's going to use a lot of things to distract you. But I get the idea from Paul here that there's one main thing he uses to distract me and you, to back us off from our confession of faith. I get the idea from Paul here, through multiple witnesses that we just read, multiple scriptures, that there's one thing that if we're not careful about, we can get distracted with and lose consistency. And the thing that I see from Paul here, that is the one factor that's going to attack you and me more than anything when we get in faith, is the passage of time. Steadfast until the end. You have need of patience. That same spirit you had at the beginning. See it all the way through until the end. Hold fast that confident rejoicing. The passage of time. Friends, there are things that I've been in faith for that, I mean, it looked like they happened overnight. I mean, I can remember when me and my wife, we walked in our house that we're living in now. We weren't even looking to buy a house. But we walked in, I knew it was my house. I put my house up for sale, made one offer on that house. They sold it to me for that price. The first person who came to look at my house 2 weeks later bought it. I mean, it was supernatural. I mean, speedy. I've had things like that happen to me. But friends, there have been other things. Like a new building on Lakeland Drive. That's taken years. You see things in Abraham's life. I mean, finances came quick. I mean, quick they came. God told him, go out into a land that I promised you. And he walks in that land and boom. I mean, he's a wealthy man. But then you see a promise from God and having a son named Isaac. Takes 16 years. Noah's in that great faith chapter. Took him decades to build that ark. Joseph's in that faith chapter. Took him years to go from a pit to a palace. The passage of time. And I'm sure in all of those cases, there were times where they were in faith, consistent. But it looked like they were still so far away from the completion of the thing that they had desired. It felt like it. In fact, I'm sure there were times where it seemed not only are they not getting any closer, but through the passage of time, it almost looks as if they're getting further away. And when that happens, it is an attack from the enemy to back you off of your profession and confession of faith. He wants you wavering in that confession. He wants to back you off and bully you off the promise of God through a little clock on a wall, little calendar. He wants to back you off from it. And friends, you cannot afford to quit setting that systematic set course. Go over to Mark 11:23. I'll close with this. Mark 11:23. And I'll close. Man, you guys are listening so good. I could teach you all day. We got another service though. Mark 11:23. Jesus has just spoken to a fig tree. And he says in verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he, underline it, highlight it, saith, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That word saith is the same word lego, to set a systematic set course, to break silence continually, an ongoing break of silence. It's not just one confession. It's a steady, consistent confession of faith. It gives the idea that until your faith can move your mouth consistently, it'll never move your mountain. I'll say that it gives the idea that until your faith, that belief on the inside, can move your mouth consistently, it'll never move your mountain. It almost gives the idea of the mountain being removed systematically, piece by piece. Well, that would make sense, because what is Mark 11:23 set in context of? It's set in context of the fig tree. You remember the story? Jesus walked up to a tree. He spoke to it, said, "No man ever eat of you again." And poof, the tree died. And every leaf fell off. And no, that's not what happened at all. He spoke to it, and it looked like nothing happened. He cursed it. He spoke to it. And with the natural eye, he almost could have been tricked as if to see nothing happened to the fig tree. So he goes into the city, preaches, comes back on the way out. His disciples look at the fig tree and watch what they tell him in verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Question. When Jesus spoke the word, what did it work on first? The unseen or the seen? The unseen. And then through its work in the unseen, it spread out into the seen. What would have happened had Jesus been distracted by what he saw? Never would have happened. He knew when he spoke to it, that fig tree was dead anyhow. He wasn't paying any attention to it. And those words started working from the root. Friends, there are times in your life and mine where if we go by the natural eye, it looks as if nothing in this world is taking place good. It looks like God is not at work anywhere if we just go by what we see. But friends, we are not to walk by sight. We are to walk by faith. And faith keeps a steady confession of faith all the way until the end. There was a man I know about who was diagnosed with a terminal brain tumor. No hope of operating. He went to go see all these doctors and they told him, "We can't operate on you because when we get in there, I mean, we're just going to mess up too much in trying to get it out." Basically, this tumor had almost grown legs like an octopus and wrapped around on the inside of the brain. So to go in and remove it, they'd have to dig too deep into the brain, and they didn't want to chance that. So no doctor he went to would allow him to be operated on. And finally, he went up. This was back when ORU, Oral Roberts University, had what is called the City of Faith. And basically what it was a hospital where everybody was spirit-filled. You can imagine the benefits of that. Combining doctors, which are a gift towards God, with the message of faith and healing, and combining the two. Well, they went up there and he got them to agree to exploratory surgery. Well, anyway, it's a big process. They got to run all the scans. And anyway, during this process, he goes over to Ramah's Healing School. And while he's there, they come up to him and lay hands on him and curse that tumor. They command it to die. Well, he goes back to the doctor. They're running all the scans. The tumor is still there. It hasn't disappeared. It hasn't changed. Nothing. Well, this goes on consistently, but the man is holding steadfast his confession of faith that he is the healed of the Lord. I mean, he keeps his confession right. He's setting a systematic set course, and he's not getting distracted and not saying anything at all. He's breaking silence continually. "I'm the healed of the Lord." Well, anyway, they went in to do the exploratory surgery. And sure enough, they opened him up and the doctor's sitting there and he's looking at it. And there's nothing he can do. He's trying all these different methods, but he realizes, I can't cut into this thing. So he's looking at it for hours, trying to find a way to help this man. And he gets tired and he has to take a break. And so he goes and walks away from the table and just walks away from the operating table and puts his hand on the little side table there. And he's a spirit-filled Christian. And so he starts praying. Give me wisdom, Lord. At the end of the prayer, true story, he walks over to where the man is and the tumor falls out. Falls out. He looks at it and the octopus legs, the only way he could explain it was they had been burnt out. It was like, yeah, exactly. It was like a charred. I mean, it was just like someone took a blowtorch to him and burned him away from the actual brain there without damaging the brain at all. It was perfect. They sewed him up, got all of that, and 3 days later he was given his testimony in healing school. Now here's my point. He set that course. He set it. His words could have delayed it had he had gotten distracted and never broke silence. But he set the course. And when you get in faith for something, keep setting the course. Keep speaking consistently and don't get distracted by anything taking you away from your confession of faith. Especially the passage of time. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we come before you today. Oh, it's so good to be here. We thank you, Lord, for your word and for your wisdom and for your amazing Holy Spirit. I thank you for your help today, Lord. And Father, I just thank you for each and every one of these people here that supernaturally, by your divine hand and will, they are going to see all the way to the end what they are believing you for. We love you, Lord, so much today. And we thank you, Lord, for everything you blessed us with. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name for just showing up in a supernatural fashion and way, your goodness and grace in this year. Let heaven touch earth in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we leave here, if you need prayer for anything at all today, salvation, rededication, maybe you have a loved one who's ill or sick, or maybe you need a job, or maybe you just need prayer for wisdom or direction. All across this altar at the end of service, there are going to be prayer room workers ready to pray with you and for you for any of those things. If you need a Bible, we'll give you one. If you need some books to encourage your faith, we'll give you those books. We have many books on different subjects, and we just want to give you and put it in your hands. If you're a guest with us here this morning, meaning this is your first, second, or third time, you can come down to this side of the table right here, or this side of the altar, to this table right here, and get a free gift. We've got a free gift for first, second, and third time visitors. It's just our little way of saying thank you for coming to Word of Life. And also, you can go to that table right at the back too, all visitors, to the What's a Seat Worth sign, that table that's back there, and get your free gifts as well right there. Stand to your feet all over this place. Say this with me before.